Welcome to the Christian Indie Writers Podcast, where we inform, encourage, and support Christian indie writers on their journey to publication. I'm Jamie Hirschberger. I write short fiction under the pen name J.R. Nichols.
I'm Jennifer Carl Tong, and I write historical Christian romance.
I'm Christina Catane, and I write in multiple genres, including Christian dystopian fiction.
I'm Rod Hagerman, and I write fiction and nonfiction under the pen name Dee Dee Bowman.
Welcome, everyone, to the show today. We start every episode with, we'd like to thank you all, first of all, for listening. Our wonderful listeners in the chat room are a great source of inspiration and information. We appreciate all of you. We also appreciate everybody who listens to us after the show, either on, you know, iTunes or wherever. You can just stream us, or you can go watch us on YouTube, because we are a visual as well as an audio podcast. So if you only ever heard us before, why don't you jump over to YouTube and check out what we look like? You might be disappointed, but not sure what you're expecting. Anyway, Jen also has something exciting to say.
I do. We wrote a book.
We did.
We are so, so excited about this opportunity to share this with you. We believe that sprinting regularly is one way to become a better writer. We've always said that. If you've watched us for even a hot minute, you know that sprinting is a big part of our careers and of this show. So we want to help you create a daily sprinting habit. And that's why we wrote 30 Days of Writing Sprints.
Yeah.
So we've been waiting. It's been in the works. And today, an email is going to go out to anyone who's in our email list that's already subscribed. Today, a letter will go out that will tell you how you can become an advanced reader for our book. You can get a free digital copy, an ARC for our book, in exchange for giving us a review. So if you're interested in doing that, make sure you go over and subscribe quickly to our newsletter so that you can be part of this exciting process of our launch.
Yes, we are so excited to help you guys to become better writers and to finally cross the finish line on your publication journey with your daily sprint habit. So we want to get you in the right direction. Okay, now, if we have anybody in the chat to say hello to, Piper.
Piper's here. Hello, Piper. Hi, Shell. Yep, Piper's excited. Awesome. She says, yay. Yay.
Okay. So I want to go around the table and find out what's up with everybody. What's up with you today, Rhonda?
Well, I had a pretty exciting morning because I think everybody knows by now that I love my garden. And I am very sad that I didn't get to spend much time in my garden at all this year. I feel kind of like I got gypped a little bit. Mm. But anyway, this morning we had a hard frost here.
Oh.
And as soon as I saw that, I almost cried thinking that my babies were going to die. Well, no, I ran out there with my hose immediately and sprayed them off. And so that's going to save them for at least another day or to the next frost that I miss, or at least give me time to get some of them inside. So that was my excitement for the morning.
Here's the most dramatic thing I could possibly think of to say about that. Do you realize that, like, once upon a time, that would mean your family would starve if your whole crop got, like, frosted out? I mean, we live in such amazing times right now that we just have to go to Walmart or whatever. Like, wow. Your whole, like, I mean, it would have been a panic. I mean, what would they have done? They probably would have covered them. I don't know. I mean,
well, yeah, they would have covered them, but also they would have been way more organized and they would have probably already harvested everything that's out there.
True.
And they would, it would have been more important.
Yes, that they
wouldn't have forgotten.
Yes.
That's a very good point. I mean, you know, dire consequences. Well, Rhonda, I'm sorry you didn't get to play in the dirt much this year, but we can look forward to next year. I mean, seed catalogs will be coming to the mail before you know it.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Like 2 months. I know.
And that's the best. Like, that's like the Christmas catalog when you're an adult. You guys remember getting that big Sears and Roebuck thing and like circling all the pictures?
Yeah.
Like,
did anybody else get the Amazon wish book this week?
There's an Amazon wish book?
Yeah, it's like the old Sears catalog. It was so nostalgic.
Wow. How much money do you have to give Amazon to get that?
I don't know. I give them a lot, so I don't know.
Right? Like, why am I not on their favorite person's list or whatever? Whatever, Amazon. No sponsorship for you. Okay, so what is up with you today, Tina?
Well, first of all, our furnace went out on Monday.
Oh, wah, wah.
And apparently all these furnace people are so busy that the guy couldn't even come out till Wednesday to even look at it.
Because you live where it's cold. I'm in Florida.
Yeah.
You're in Michigan. What's it like up there in Michigan at the end of October?
It was, there was frost this morning when I woke up.
Oh, that's right. Duh, Rhonda just said.
So when I woke up, it was 57 degrees in the house. So that's not too bad because we always leave our thermostat under 65 anyway. But
what?
Yeah.
Okay, that's a whole episode.
Yes.
I am from Alaska. So
we'll be doing intervention, the heater issue and the potato issue. We will be scheduling for Tina to discuss.
Anyway, they can't come out till Monday because there was a waiting list. So I have my blanket.
And you said you have heaters. I know we have friends offer to come to the rescue. Like, you're safe, right? Like, nobody has to worry about you. You're not going to carbon monoxide yourself or anything like that.
No,
right?
It's not those type of space heaters.
Great. Awesome. Okay. But just keep an eye on everything because this time of year, you know how they have to warn you because you plug too many things in. I mean, you know, you could burn yourself down.
Yeah. So, but the exciting, really exciting news in my life this week is that my advanced reader copies are also ready.
Oh, yeah.
And anybody who wants one can just go over to ChristinaCatane.com, sign up for my newsletter. And there will be a button in there that will take you to Story Origin where you can download my book.
Yes,
e-book.
That's so free exciting. E-book. Wow. Yay.
So that's
Tina, that's awesome. And now you expect if they download now, you're really wanting them to go leave a review.
Yes,
is that right? Because the book is not officially launched. Like, explain what's going on there.
It's on pre-order. So okay. If you go over to Amazon and you look up the book, the e-book is on pre-order. So you could buy it right now, and then they'll deliver it to you on November 14th.
Okay.
Or you can sign up for my newsletter and get it for free and leave me a nice review or just an honest review. It doesn't have to be.
Well, Shell said she got a copy. Yay.
Oh, good.
Thanks, Shell, for buying a copy. Shell also said she hates hanging out with us, so she got it a bed just to be with us. Yay, hello, Shell. Honey. And then Moon Bunny, which we know who that is. I don't know if she wants to say who it is. She can't stay because she's on deadline, but she hopes we have a fabulous weekend. Well, we hope you also have a fabulous weekend. And thanks for checking in with us. We got some more What's Up. You want to read that one, Jen?
Sure. Shell says her What's Up. I did it. I finished my short story and submitted it.
Yay.
It was a good feeling.
It was right at the wire and I almost gave up a few days ago, but I pushed through. Good for you. Didn't get to bed until very late last night.
That's so awesome. I'm so happy for you meeting that goal.
Exciting.
Piper says, my what's up is that we have a drought, so not enough water to easily harvest our cranberries. So we're going to stay our second week of trying to bring in the crop.
Yeah.
Okay, Piper is a cranberry farmer?
Yes. What? You should have seen. She had a picture of the bog on her Facebook. It's the coolest thing. I mean, you drink cranberry juice, but you don't ever really realize there are people with, I don't even know, is it like a squeegee? And she's like in there, you know what I mean? And so
there's
another whole episode right there. Like, tell us about the ball.
Haven't you ever seen that commercial?
Yes.
The two guys and their waders, like in the water.
Yep.
When I lived in Boston and drove by, the first time I saw people out, actually, like, it was just mind blowing to me. It's something like when you live in Michigan, you don't ever see it, and you see it and it's just so natural to them. But it's the coolest thing to watch them harvest cranberries. So if you don't know what we're talking about, go to, I'm sure there's other YouTube. Don't go now. Watch us. When you're done watching us, you can go watch another YouTube.
I know. It's hard for me not to go now. I'm squirreling myself. But okay. So
Piper also says, I'm sending my daughter to get your book, Tina.
Oh, goody.
That's wonderful.
Yay.
All right. Well, I'll quickly say my what's up. My what's up is I got a new chair. And I'm just going to say, this is something that, you know, you don't think about. Like, well, my husband did think about it because he told me it has a creaking problem. That's all I'm going to say. Like, this is the creakiest chair. So here I know I'm going to be on a podcast and this thing is going to be making all kinds of racket and creaking and all of this kind of stuff. But it's so hilarious because in this age of like webcam, see, you hear, and it's like over and over with the creaky chair. So I'm like, can you WD-40 this or something? He's like, I think it's plastic. I'll have to take a look at whatever. So we'll see. Anyway, I just wanted to let everybody know. I got a new chair and I love it, but it's creaky. That's my what's up. What's your what's up, Jen?
Last night I got the best sleep I've gotten in years.
Now that deserves applause.
Yes.
Right,
like if you're a mom, like I don't even, Like, I can't even tell you the last time. In the middle of the night, I woke up and was able to go right back to sleep. And then when I woke up this morning, I felt good. And I'm like, I literally felt like that was a good night's sleep. And I cannot tell you the last time I had that. So I was just like, yes. Like, it just re-energizes you. You feel like you're just ready to take on the world. And I'm just like, just super, super duper excited about that. And this week, I know we've talked before about my, my asking for a Kindle for Christmas for how many years in a row. And it's always kind of like a joke, like, you know, because I've asked for a Kindle for several years in a row and have never gotten it. My husband came to me. He's like, I heard today's Prime Day. I'm like, yeah. He's like, I heard Kindles are on sale. So guess who ordered a Kindle this week?
Yeah.
I don't even have to wait for Christmas. I don't even have to like save it for Christmas. I just get a Kindle. So I know it's funny to be an author that I put books out in ebook form and I do not own a Kindle. I've always used my phone. I think a lot of people use their phones to read because your phone's always with you, right? Mm-hmm. But I'm so excited to have a Kindle. My girls are already deciding what books they're going to download and borrow, use it to borrow. So yeah, that was my big news for the week.
That's awesome news. That's very exciting. I love those things that I call like lifestyle upgrades, you know? Yeah. So that's really neat, Jen. I love that you have a new, and if you need a lead on some free and discounted eBooks, I know a newsletter you can sign up for. I know several newsletters you can sign up for. And you can get some ideas for some free or discounted reads. Okay, so.
And we'll put them in the description box and everyone can just go linkity link them.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Plus, as authors, you guys know that those kind of purchases also can be used as business expenses too. Because I know authors that have a Kindle, a Nook, like they have all of them just so they can preview their books before they go out, which is not a bad idea, honestly. Like, I don't like to just trust that, it looks like this. It's going to look like that on the reader. Mm-hmm. Maybe not. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Good advice. Okay, so I think it's time to jump into the topic du jour, which is where should you sprint? Now, if you're just tuning in, you hear me say, where should you sprint? You might think you are listening to the Athletic Club podcast or something. No. We are not talking about running, sprinting, or none of us would be here talking about it, because unless I'm mistaken, none of us have any desire to run sprint. Am I correct?
I get winded running the copy machine.
Yeah.
If you see me running or sprinting, then you better run yourself, because there's something absolutely so terrifying behind me that I decided just laying down and accepting my death was not an option.
That's got to be pretty terrifying. Yeah, so we're talking about writing sprints. We've already talked about how you should do a writing sprint. We talked about the Pomodoro method. If you guys want to go back to our past episodes, I believe 106 and 107, you can get caught up on how you should perform writing sprints and why you should perform writing sprints. But today we're going to talk about where, and you know, we're living in a different time than when we planned this book originally. So we're going to take a walk down memory lane, go into the Wayback Machine or whatever, and pretend that it's that time right now and have the conversation as though it's then. Because we're hoping that someday we'll all be able to get together face to face again and have a cool write-in like we used to do. So let's pretend we could get together and let's brainstorm. What are we going to do when we can all party hardy again? So who's going to start me off with ideas from before?
Well, I think, go ahead, Rhonda.
Ideas from before?
Yes. From anywhere. Once upon a time. Yes. Now, what you could do is be specific and tell us maybe your favorite and say why it was your favorite. Like, what was it about that location that made it special to you? Like, that might help focus your answer. Does anybody have an answer about that?
Bubble tea.
Yes. Tell us about it.
The bubble tea place.
Yeah, where is that?
Well, it's in the little town where Jennifer lives, and it's just a little, like, there's a little strip mall, and it's just one little, and it's kind of small inside, but they have comfy furniture and tables, and they have bubble tea.
Ooh, so tables and comfortable furniture is something we are looking for.
That's right. And the reason I didn't even think about that, but that's a fun memory, because that was a place we were able to bring our kids. Mm-hmm. And I know that, like, my kids and Jamie's kids would, like, get their tea and go hang out and, like, talk or whatever. And we were off doing our own thing. And it was small enough where we, like, could see them and not worry about what they were doing or anything. So that was a fun place. That was fun.
And most importantly, they had Wi-Fi.
Yes. Oh, that's
yes.
Has to have Wi-Fi. I was going to say the OG, the original gangsta of Panera Bread.
Yeah. Because
Panera Bread, I'm not sure if everybody, that's probably not an international thing, but in the United States here, we have a place called Panera Bread where they bake. It's a sandwich shop, basically, in a coffee shop, but they bake all their breads fresh. And like that. But the important thing is they kind of set their restaurant up for meetings. They have great Wi-Fi. And people will come in with their laptop. Every table almost has laptops on, and either people are writing and doing homework or writing, or they are having little meetings. And our NaNoWriMo group meets at a Panera. And that's really, for me, the beginning of sprints of my career. It all started with a Panera Bread. So I think about that.
Mm-hmm. Rhonda, did you want to talk about a favorite place or not? Because I have one, but I'll let you take a turn if you've got one.
Well, I was going to mention Panera, but one thing I do like about Panera is that it's sort of like, instead of being a big wide open cafeteria, it's got little cubbies.
Mm. Yeah. So it feels more like you're in your own space as a group, right? Mm-hmm. So it, yep. People can't really see what you're doing or not see what you're doing, but it's like they don't feel included. So you guys feel like you're more private, because I was going to say, all right, Jen and Rhonda and probably everybody loves their fancy Panera, but I'm like, dude, where's the budget cruller? Okay, so let's go to Tim Hortons.
Yes.
Where everyone can eat for cheap and still shove the tables around and have Wi-Fi and stuff. But it's colder there, it's noisier there, and you don't have that intimate environment that Rhonda was mentioning about Panera. Panera has like a fireplace, and what they have there also is this creepy guy who will stare at you from across the room. For no extra charge. I mean, like, you guys should have seen this one time. Like they were texting me, do you guys notice that this guy is like staring at us in a creepy way? And then it turned out someone knew him or whatever. That was like drama. I don't know why I'm talking about that.
So I was going to say, not all Paneras have this, but if you guys recall, we were at the Panera in Grand Blanc when we first spotted, when this guy first spotted us, and like, it became like super weird. He's sitting in his chair, his table turned, like the table's here. He's turned like this. We're over here and he's just staring at us, just staring at us. And then like, it became kind of funny to us, whatever. But to the point where we almost called, like my husband was coming to pick me up, and I think we did have him come in. I don't remember. A couple weeks later, we're at a Panera Bread in Flint, totally different town, right? The guy is there.
I remember. Yes.
And there was another person from NaNo there. And we were like, kind of like, oh my gosh. You're kidding. And every time we went there, the guy was there. It was super weird. Someone we knew him. She's like, oh, he's fine. We're like, oh no. So that's a totally another story, but my gosh, I forgot about that dude. That's hilarious.
Oh, yeah. And I want to say that Shell has a great idea. She said one of her writer friends used to go on Barnes & Noble dates with her. Now, you could sprint there. We actually had sprints at Barnes & Noble once. Remember, ladies? Yes. Jen, you even asked people in the romance section if they would read your book. Do you remember that you did that?
Okay. What I did was I took my, I was working on my blurb.
Yeah.
And so we were there and it was Jamie's idea. She's like, just go to the romance section. And I'm like, oh, geez. So I took my little laptop and I went over to the romance section, the Christian romance section. And I found someone. I'm like, I'm sorry. Excuse me, please. I'm a writer and I'm working on my blurb. If you read this blurb, would you be interested in the book? And she read it. She's like, yes, I would. I'm like, thank you. And it was like, totally not me. Like, I know I'm not shy, but I'm also kind of an introvert too. So I was just kind of like, oh yeah.
Do you recommend that to people, Jennifer? I mean, like, how do you, like, yeah, because a real live reader at the store, although like you might not want to do it a lot or get in trouble with Barnes and Noble people, right? Because it's kind of soliciting. But anyway, the point is it was an awesome opportunity for you to get real life feedback from a reader. It was great.
Yes. Our problem is that our Barnes & Noble, I don't know about now, but it's always crowded. I don't care what time of the day or night you go. It's really hard to find seating there. But yes, that's a great place. I was going to suggest that too. We also have a used bookstore. We have two, one in Grand Blanc. We have a lot of used bookstores.
Yeah.
But two that will like give you seating. And there's one in Flint called Totem that has got a great feel to it. They have handcrafted Italian sodas and really good food, and they have places for you to sit and they have Wi-Fi. So that's another great thing to do is bookstores, because like you kind of are surrounded by inspiration, right?
Yes. Rhonda, do you want to read Barb's comment? Do you see that?
Well, I don't know if anybody's going to know what Borders is, but in her day, It was Borders and the coffee shop. Actually, Borders is the one that really started that whole trend.
Oh, yeah.
You had nice, cushy chairs and tables and sitting there and reading all day long.
Yeah, Borders was the reader's blockbuster.
I was super sad when Borders closed because I liked it better than Barnes & Noble.
Yep. Yeah.
And if you're really in a pinch, you can always go to your local library.
Yes. There you go.
You can't be as chatty. I learned that the hard way.
Well, some libraries have like rooms that you can reserve, private rooms, but I don't know like what the details are on how to do that.
So it's going to be individualized. Yeah, good point, Tina. So you should check out your own library's website. And I think it goes without saying, although we should say it anyway, because you never know. But you don't want to be that guy at the place where you go to do a write-in either, right? Like you want to mind your P's and Q's. Like Jen just pointed out, if you're in an environment where it's quiet, don't let your group be the one to start a wild party. I mean, you're representing the writers in your community to those people of that establishment. And please buy a book if you're meeting at a used bookstore. Don't take advantage of their kindness to let you meet and not make a purchase on occasion, right? I understand everybody's on a budget, but that's why I go to Tim Hortons and not Panera every time so that I can support the businesses that support me as I am climbing up this mountain.
A very good point. Very, very good point.
Yes.
Also, I think too that with these businesses, it's good to like, if you don't know what we mean about how to sprint, you need to go back and watch last week's episode because you need to know that, like, yes, you can be chatty, but you also don't want to impede on anyone else's writing time. You're there to write. You're there to have some social interaction, but you're there to write. So by doing the Pomodoro method, you get your writing in and you have scheduled chat time too. So that's very important.
And you should always have a designated mini pants. You can call it a sergeant at arms. You can call it the group leader. You can just see who seems to be the loudest person sitting at the table and make it that
person.
You could
just call them Jamie.
Yeah. If you just someone who would just be like, okay, the timer has started. We're actually really writing now. Like someone who's not going to relent, because the deal is you are helping everybody meet their goal. So if you are the designated mini pants, just think of it as they have asked you to whip them into shape. It's like you are their personal trainer. Here we are with the exercise analogy again, which I am anathema to exercise. But anyway, the point is you are trying to help these people get what they want. So by being mean and enforcing the sprints, you are going to actually be helpful rather than harmful. So don't be afraid.
There's also a whole nother realm of places to sprint that I would like to bring up that it's a little more work and it's not so like seat of your pants or last minute, but writing retreats are such a great place. We've done them before. We've gone to Rhonda's place up north. You don't have to have a friend who has a house like in the country to do this, but it doesn't hurt. There are places like there are campgrounds that have like facilities that you can rent. Like if you're doing it with friends, then you can do this, right? There are, hotels have rooms for business meetings that you can rent. If you have enough people interested in going and doing this and you schedule in advance, it can be very affordable. If you all
and it doesn't have to be fancy. If it's just you and your girlfriends each shipping in $40, you don't have to have fancy speakers or even fancy food. It's just you guys being intentional about making the time to get the work done.
And we live in the age of vacation rental by owner and Airbnb.
Yep.
So those are awesome alternatives if you don't have a friend that has a house on a lake in the north of Michigan.
Because if like you're doing everybody it, does, I'm sure.
If you're doing it with a group, and it doesn't have to be your best friends, it can be just a writing group and everyone has their own space and everybody, there's Wi-Fi and everybody chips in, it could be a very good thing for your writing career and your writing sprints to do those on a regular basis.
Agree. Yeah. Now I want to transition, if we will, Ken, whatever, to virtual. Now, once upon a time when we're planning our book that we are releasing for advanced readers, rewind if you didn't catch that part. Okay. We were talking about virtual write-ins anyway, because you can't always get away from the house. Sometimes you have rugrats hanging on to your ankles if you're a mom. And sometimes you just have other obligations or you just don't want to put on all of the clothes that you would need to put on to go out into public. So how can we do virtual sprinting, ladies? What are some ideas there?
Or I have to mention one of your core group members moves to another state.
Oh, yes.
Right.
You could do a podcast every day and sprint.
Piper says, I love Facebook sprints.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Now, how does that work? Like, see, I always see sprints, but I kind of log in, but I don't know what they're doing. Like, you know what I mean? Does anybody participate in a sprint somewhere virtual that they can explain to me how theirs goes?
Piper, if you would explain that, it'd be great because I've never done a Facebook sprint. So, again, mm-hmm. I've not been on Facebook a whole lot lately. So, we back in the day did Hangouts, Google Hangouts, and they got rid of them. But the funny thing is that if you still had a link, they're still active. Like yeah. we still go to the same Hangout that we've been going to for 2 years, and that works for us.
Yeah, like if you have Discord or any other way yeah. that you normally meet up with face, like if imagine Zoom. The alternative to a Google Hangout, right? So like Zoom or Skype mm-hmm. or whatever is obviously the very first way that you can communicate with people and sprint virtually.
And there are Facebook rooms now, which are very similar to a Google Hangout. You just make a room and everyone can go into it.
And why does that learning not stop?
To do a room, you have to have a group. So, which is perfect because if you have some writers that you're friends with, do a group, a private group with just your writer friends. And then you guys can have a room where you guys can all go in and can sprint together. Easy peasy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we have the sprint topics for you every Friday on the podcast. We sprint and we are now going to have a book for you with 30 different sprint ideas. So you will not run out of ideas. Just get together. Say, you know, this cool podcast. They have a great idea. Let's give it a try.
Oops. It moved before I click on it. Oh. The one that I participated in is a Facebook group called Writing Sprints, and somebody will be the caller and they say go, and then everybody you know disappears and they have a timer.
That's cool.
And then the person calling said stop, and everybody chimes in and what they could accomplish. Okay, so you don't actually see each other. Okay. Shell says, I try to go on YouTube productivity sprints. There is usually a host who shares a screen timer and facilitates the sprinting, mm-hmm. then reads out the chat in between. Yes, there's, I don't remember what her name is now, like what she goes by, but our friend here on the podcast, I know she does one. Moon Bunny mm-hmm. does that mm-hmm. as well. I've seen that she has productivity sprints as well. So if you follow her on YouTube, you'll get some of those.
And I think that that's wise. Go ahead, Jen.
We've talked about doing it. We talked about it over a year ago about doing something like that before everyone else was doing them. Maybe we should reconsider it. But
yeah, it's kind of like we planted a seed and we're going to see if it germinates because one of us has to be like inclined. Because I was just going to say, if you are inclined to virtual sprinting and if you think one of these sprinting rooms sounds like I would love to have that. Consider being the one to facilitate one because guess what? You can put links to it on your website and you can start building a history of having an internet presence with these things that you're doing because we're encouraging you on the podcast. It's called incrementally building your platform. Just do a little sprint once in a while and put a link out. Hey, everybody, you know what I'm saying? So it's just another idea for y'all.
Shell says, I've also sprinted in a Discord group before, but I'm not very good at being consistent with my Discord.
Well, then it's maybe not for you. Like for me, if I can't be consistent, I know it's not going to stick and then it fades away. Mm-hmm. So that's just how my process is. So
for me, it helped to have like a core group of people that were accountable to each other. Yeah. That's why we have office hours. To have these things that I can just jump into doesn't work for me because then I'm like, I find other things keep me busy. But
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Barb's talking about an iMessage group. I have no idea what that is.
Wow.
It's Rhonda, probably an Apple product.
Mm-hmm. What was your first clue? Rhonda, were you trying to jump in there with a comment about...
I was going to comment on the iMessage group. I haven't heard of that either. And I'm just wondering, I would like to know if that's a group she created or if it's a group through Facebook. I would like to know more about that.
All right. Well, how do you guys feel about the topic? Do you think we've exhausted it and we can maybe move on to the feeding of the backs? Or do we need to talk a little more about where to do writing sprints?
Well, I just like to be Dr. Seuss and say I would do it in a car, in a boat, with a goat, in the house, in the park. Like, you can sprint anywhere.
Yeah, getting outside is a big deal. Like in June, I spent a lot of time outside writing because it's freshens like my mind, and I don't do that in October in Michigan. No, it's just too cold. But yes, all kinds of, find new places to write, because it just seems to like click something different in your brain, doesn't it? When you like move location. I can work every day here at my office, but when I get up and go somewhere, and I know we can't really, because of social distancing, we can't like do it as much as we used to or the way we used to, but just find somewhere to get out and do some writing and some sprinting, and you'll find that your productivity will change.
I agree. And it's a really helpful tip for writer's block, which we did bring up. I don't remember what episode, but we do have a whole episode about writer's block. If that's something you're going through right now, you should go and search-a-roo on our website. All hearts clear about where to sprint. All right, then it's time for the feeding of the backs. What is that? Okay. Well, when we sprint on Friday, we set 15 minutes of a time. We put a timer on for 15 minutes and then we write. Then we don't edit those pieces. We come and read them to you live on the air. And then we go around and give only positive feedback, right? And so then we say, is your back well fed? Har har. Okay. So anyway, we are going to read stories today based on what sprint prompt, Jen?
The sprint prompt today was location, location, location.
All right. Now remember, it's a topic feedback only.
Yep. It's just a topic print. So you could make it your title. It could end up the words actually in there, or it could just be the topic that you're writing about. And I want to point out really quick too, that we've been talking about sprints and we've been encouraging you to do Pomodoro sprints, but yet here on the podcast, we only do 15 minute sprints. The reason is that especially when you read our book, you're going to discover this, that 15 minute sprints will produce a certain amount of words, but it just gets more and more. So, but if we did 25 minute sprints here on the podcast, we would never have time to read them. we wouldn't. So, okay. So today, location, location, location.
Yes. And I would love to hear your piece first, Jen.
All right, here we go. There's no way I'm living there. It's not that bad. It's not that good. Jeannie pinched the bridge of her nose. What would you call the color of that siding? Puce? We'll get it painted. That's an easy fix. One of about 100 needed fixes. The kitchen is a complete gut job. Take down a couple walls, add an island, and I think it could be great. You said that like you have the capability of doing that. We'll have to hire out that work and it won't be cheap. I'll make it happen, I promise. Can you make two more bathrooms miraculously appear? Because I cannot fathom how we're going to raise a family in a house with one small bathroom. Raise a family, Jim laughed. This is our starter home, Jeannie. It's not our forever home. We'll live in it for a few years, fix it up, and turn a profit. It's a great location. That alone is a reason enough to buy it. Jeannie wiped at the tear that escaped her eye. What if we don't have time for a starter home? Of course we have time. We've only been married a few weeks. We have the rest of our lives for forever. Besides, we won't be ready to start our family for at least 3 more years. You should have told God that before now. She dropped her head in her hands and let the tears flow freely.
Aww.
Jim quickly... I wrote quickie. Quickly pulled into the parking lot of the Chick-fil-A and parked his car. Jean, what's wrong? He asked, grabbing her hand. Do you really hate the house that much? She shook her head. We can't raise this baby in a construction zone, she sobbed. Baby, what are you? He trailed off. She felt him release her hand and heard his car door open then close. A moment later, her door opened and Jim pulled her from the car. Jeannie, are you saying what I think you're saying? Are you pregnant? She sobbed and nodded. Jim was silent for a moment. Then he wrapped his arms around her. Why are you crying? He asked. Don't you want this baby? Of course I do. I just don't want to destroy your dream. My dream? Yes, of flipping this house. Jim pulled back and lifted her chin so she looked at him. You are my dream. You and this baby. The house was just a step in that path, not the dream. 3, 2, 1.
Yay! Oh,
so good.
That was so sweet.
Aw, thanks.
I love that you did not head hop, and that you made her only hear him get out of the car and come around. Because the more that I'm killing head hopping in my work, the more I like my work. Because there's something about knowing he left the car. She knows he left the car. He could be going into the store to buy a gallon of whiskey to drown his sorrows. Like, she doesn't know. Do you know what I mean? So I love that choice you made there. Very nice.
Thank you.
Awesome. That was really good.
It was
Did everybody write like house hunting stories? I'm just
You'll
curious.
Have to see. Do you want to read yours next? Wait, sure. First in the chat, Shell is saying yay and so sweet. A really great wave of emotions. Yes, it really did take you back and forth. Not just one feeling there, which is awesome.
Oh, thank you. Really appreciate it. All right, Tina, your turn.
Okay. Susie gripped tight to the handle above the Jeep door as it rocked violently back and forth. At one point, she was forced to exit the vehicle, waving through thick mud that sucked at her Doc Martens, to find a patch of dry ground to wait on while the real estate agent Joe and her husband Tim pushed and pulled at the back bumper as the driver rocked the vehicle frontward and backward. Finally, with a loud wet pop, the tires released from the mud and moved forward onto apparently sturdier ground, although it looked just as muddy to Susie as the hold they just escaped. Back in the Jeep, the back and forth rocking from the uneven track that got narrower by the minute continued, and it had Susie's stomach roiling and the cup of black coffee that was her breakfast threatening to make a second appearance. Just when Susie thought she couldn't bear another minute, they broke through the tree line and pulled out onto a large flat clearing. An A-frame log cabin stood proudly in the middle, its wraparound porch made from unfinished logs, and the snowshoes hanging on the outer wall adding rustic charm. They all piled out of the Jeep and walked toward the cabin. As they walked, their view of the horizon moved ever lower until before them was a vista too incredible to believe. The bluff this cabin sat on overlooked a crystal-clear lake surrounded by spruce forest and backdropped by mountain peaks, the tip of which still had snow even in mid-July. A switchback staircase led to the bottom of the bluff and out to a dock, at the end of which sat a twin-engine floatplane. Surely that was an easier way to get here than that horrid road they just traveled down. Tim grabbed her hand and squeezed. "It's beautiful," Susie breathed. "It's like I said," said Joe. "Location, location, location." Well, it wasn't 3-2-1 because I just stopped. I was done.
You had me at A-frame. With wraparound porch, I was like, yes. And with the log porch, yes.
Mm-hmm. Your description of being stuck in the Jeep was fantastic. I felt like I was in it.
Absolutely, because she's expecting this to be a terrible situation when she looks at it. So you really did a good job of setting us up to expect misery, right, Rhonda?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yep. Very nice. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Okay. Well, I'm going to read mine next if y'all don't mind. So it's not too much of my voice right in a row. If I can find it. Oh, my goodness. Maybe not. Jamie Sprint. Here we go. Okay. I should have known it would never work. Karen jammed the cigarette into the overflowing ashtray with a ferocity that belied the even tone of her voice. You ran the numbers. It was a promising investment. Kevin flipped the folder he was holding closed and slid it gingerly across the desk to his client. "I'm sure you'll want to liquidate. You should give me a call when you're ready for me to bring in my people." He stood to leave, but she said his name and he turned to look back at her. For the first time in forever, he saw her the way he'd seen her for the first 3 years of their relationship, when she'd still been able to make time for rollerblading in the park and submarine sandwiches down by the pier. Her suit was well-tailored and her eyes were dry. She'd laid crying aside as easily as she'd shed her second skin, or maybe it had been her third, her first being the woman she thought she'd become during grad school, her second being the woman she was when she'd been married to him. But still, she looked like a little girl behind that big polished desk. "What is it?" he asked, recognizing that he was letting his fear drive his impatience. He closed the door and turned to give her his full attention. She pressed her lips together and he thought he might have noticed the glint of a tear. Finally, after an eternity during which every moment with her spun through his mind in a dizzying array of conflicting emotions, when the turmoil she'd caused him since the day she'd walked into his life started to feel unbearable, she spoke. "I really appreciate what you've done for me, but I will no longer be requiring your services."
Wow.
That was very emotional.
There's so much packed in there.
I know.
This is how Jamie writes. Jamie writes in such a way that she can pack so much information without info dumping that you just know everything is happening. And with this, I feel like I was so into like the description of the characters and like that like I'm still trying to piece together. Okay, so they were married, but they're not married. You know what I mean? Like there's just so much there that since I can't read it myself, that I'm still processing it. So don't. So my lack of feedback is not a bad thing. I hope you know that. I feel like I need to read it again.
Yeah, right? Because what I've realized is that I am so audio that the words are like music to me. And like I'm reading it to you, you can tell it sounds like I practice reading it, right? Because when I write it, it's like I'm transposing songs that I'm hearing in my head, sort of. Like I'm just writing and writing. So when I read it back, like I know what it's like. I don't need to look at it because it's like in my head already. So I get it. If you're a visual person, my writing probably you have to look at it to appreciate it, because it's like a melody in my head more than it's words that I see that I'm transposing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sentence by sentence, there was so much going on in each sentence. It's just, wow.
Yeah, that's the kind of scene that I would digest slowly if I had in front of me. And I would take my time and like savor each word, especially all this stuff that's going through his head about, you know, from the moment she walked into his life to now.
Mm-hmm. Right. Because if this was in a book, this would definitely be a turning point.
Yes.
Scene.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I sort of know these people, I think. I think they are like from that serial in the suburbs world, because there's all kinds of business and political drama going on over there. But I'm not looking over there real carefully right now.
Right.
This is like all, you know, developmental kind of work. So.
Right. Shell says, love the descriptions, Jamie.
Thank you, Shell. Creaky chair. Hear it. Yeah, I told you. I knew this was going to be an issue today. All right, we still need to hear from Rhonda. Cannot wait to see what you did with location, location, location.
Okay, here's my 100 words. I followed Jenny up the narrow, steep steps. She apologized for the staircase again as she swung her broom at another dusty spiderweb. How am I going to get out of this? If this back entrance is any indication, her little attic won't do at all. I swallow the lump of frustration in my throat and try to not let this latest disappointment make me cry. It's just, Beth paused her cheerful banter long enough to throw herself against the door. Sometimes it's a little sticky in the summer. She grunted and put her shoulder into it one more time, gasping as the door let free, swallowing her in darkness. There was no way I was going to follow her into that room without a light. If the stairway was any indication, there was probably 12 ways to die in there. Right on cue, Jenny made a sound that was not inviting at all. Jenny, I timidly called into the vast darkness. No answer. The end.
What?
You always do this.
Rhonda. I think Rhonda only writes for 7.5 minutes and spends the other 7.5 minutes going, whoa.
I think so too.
I thought I had my camera off. No, actually, I did get a phone call in the middle of it, so I didn't get to write as long. But
But yeah, actually, again, another like situation where what is going on? I love that she was like swallowing a disappointment. And how am I going to get out of this? I've been there because I'm a nice person. Like when I'm dealing with people, like out of habit and politeness and stuff. Right. And so I'd be like, oh, I can't just say I hate your place. I need to get out of here. I sometimes wish I could be that person. I hate it. Bye. You know what I mean? Yep. But I'm just not. So I totally could relate to that.
Absolutely.
I'm just trying to figure out if they, like, she fell through the floor. Did she get attacked by killer rats? Like, I don't even know.
Probably both.
My brain wants to know. I have to know.
Too short. Want more.
Of course. Rhonda. Oh, Rhonda, I can't wait till you have a novel out, because I've seen some of your rough drafts and I am very excited to get my paws on one. Mm-hmm. All right. So now we have gone all around. Everybody had a turn, right? I didn't forget anybody. Yay. If you guys would be so kind as to set your own timers for 15 minutes and do a sprint. Look, again, here's something you can put on your blog. You can say, look, this is unedited, everybody. So don't rake me over the coals. And in fact, people might be impressed at how well you do in 20 minutes without, you might be surprised yourself at how well you do, right? 15 for these sprints. So set your timer and write, and then share with us so we can tell you how good you did. Shell says, Rhonda, your scarf is making me jealous for fall. It's going to be 90 here today.
Well, the jealousy is mutual, because I sure would like to be 90 here today.
You know, if Star Trek and the Scotty thing were real, we could totally swap.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that could be fun. If we were more tech savvy, we could just swap faces, and then Shell could just pretend to be here. We could just put her little face right over Ron. Have you guys seen that weird technology where you can do that?
Oh, yeah, so where your face shows up on a stick. Yeah, I saw that last time. Oh, that's not what you mean? Oh, okay.
I don't think that was technology.
Was it last week that you missed
more like arts and crafts?
Yeah, it was last week.
Well, we hope that your situation is well.
Yes.
We're praying for you.
Yep. My husband is feeling better. He has a follow-up next week. We don't know what caused any of it. So they don't seem concerned. I'm hoping they'll keep looking to figure out what's wrong, but he's fine now. So.
Well, I mean, I guess you could pretend like his check engine light went off. And so you just reset it and now you're going to pretend there's nothing wrong. Right. Like then you're just going to try to drive it for another 50,000 miles or so and get some more life out of it. Yeah. Okay. So why don't you tell me though, what's next in your career, Jen? How's that all rocking and rolling? What's next?
Okay. So I've been kind of putting my editing on hold to try to get this book, our sprint book, like out. Also because of everything else going on in my life. So it's not just the sprint book, it's just everything. So I'm back into editing my book. It is going slow, but I made some pretty good strides the other night. I stayed up late, which I know was weird for me, but I did.
You're motivated, girl.
I am motivated. I've also made like a schedule, a chart to look at for my writing time, my homeschooling things, that commitments that we have, and when I need to homeschool with my girls.
Yeah.
And I think I've decided that I have to reevaluate my office hours times, which I have not discussed with you ladies. We need to probably do that off camera.
Oh, this is going to be a day of surprises. Let me tell you. Anyway, by the way, Shell, are you totally envious of Jen's sweater? Look, it even has long, like pulled that up. You got like, it's like a seed stitch or something. What is going on? I like love that sweater. Is it soft? Well, or is it scratchy? It's
so soft.
No way.
And if you want it, then you need to go to Dollar General. I'm not even kidding.
That color would look terrible on me, though. Like that mustard color looks great on you.
Okay, so I'm olive complected. I cannot wear yellow. But this mustard, it worked. And I don't know. So I love the color. I love how soft it is. The problem is that the shape of it just kind of makes me look like an oval. Like it's just kind of dumpy. But
great for the podcast, though.
Hey, you know, I may never wear it out in public. Maybe I will. I don't know. But I thought it was very fall looking. And I was very, I love it. So nice and warm, cozy.
You can just slip into it at Panera if you see creepy people staring.
I'm that person that if someone says, I like your outfit, I can't just say, thank you. I have to say, oh my gosh, I only paid $10 for art. I have to tell them because it's always a bargain. I never pay full price for anything. And I can't just say thank you. So I don't know a whole lot of people that would admit they bought clothing at Dollar General, but you guys know I've had a few off of Family Dollar, Dollar General. I find cute stuff there.
Girl, making it work on one income is a challenge. And if you do it well, you deserve to brag. That is how I feel about it, because it is a two-person situation when there's only one income, because there's one person making it and one person spending it. And if you're out spending like crazy, he's getting nowhere. So good on you, girl. That's how I feel about it. All right. So Shell says, what's next for her? A little break from writing to read. Don't blame you. She just finished a big goal. I have three arcs on deck and I'm really looking forward to just reading. Ah, Kelgon, take me away.
Is there going to be a fourth one after today? Just curious.
Ooh, yes.
We would maybe like a fifth one.
Oh, yeah. Maybe a fifth one.
Wow. Yeah. Ooh. Okay. Piper says her what's next is she's sending a gift box to one of her newsletter readers who want a drawing and harvesting. Are you putting cranberries in to your gift box? I just wonder, like, you know, a sample or like, I don't know. Are you guys like, okay, here's me. I want to know all about the cranberry industry for 5 minutes. Like, I want to know, do you sell them now to like Ocean Spray? Do you sell them to like some market? Like, anyway, we're going to talk cranberries when I finally meet you in real life or in heaven, whichever comes first.
Do you send them to your favorite podcasters?
Yeah. But you got to put something sweet on them if you're sending me cranberries, because I don't like them. Well, I like cranberries that have been doctored up for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
You know what I like to do? I just like to throw the whole berries into a roasting pan when I'm roasting like chicken and potatoes and things. And I just throw them in and mix them all in with everything. And it's like it's this pop of tartness.
I'm so doing that. Thanks for that idea, Tina.
And by the way, I use sweet potatoes because I do like sweet potatoes. I just don't like white potatoes.
Awesome. All right. Well, what is next with you, Rhonda? What's next in your writing career?
Decisions.
Because now you can actually get back to it, right? So now you have to take a direction.
Yes.
Yes.
And actually, I discussed it with my writing partner, the other D.
Uh-huh.
And we've made a tactical decision about Nano this year. So I will, what's next for me is this week coming up, getting everything ready for Nano so that I can just hit the ground running.
So that you can execute and implement and all that.
Mm-hmm. And join us Sunday night where we will be having a live discussion of Preptober.
7 o'clock.
Seven o'clock Eastern time.
All right. Are you finished with your what's next, Rhonda? Okay, well then I will go since you gave me such a beautiful segue. Now, I just want to know, have you guys talked at all? Because we have not talked. Like, normally we're chatting a lot, but everybody's going every which way. So office hours haven't been happening as well. Do y'all have a plan for the chat on Sunday about Preptober yet? Or have y'all not talked about that? Just asking.
Well, last week we talked about our what ifs. We did some what ifs with each other, which was a lot of fun.
Okay.
I felt like we got some ideas from each other. And then this week we were just going to kind of like loosely talk about how we plan from after the what ifs. I was going to bring in a isolation booth or whatever, but we don't have like a solid. Why do you have something you'd like us?
Well,
to talk?
Maybe. I mean, I'm going to say the ideal here, but if you all hate it, you can tell me off camera, but right now say, Jamie, you're so brilliant. But okay, look, I am a middle child. So what happened to me was I watched my older sister do stuff. And then I like would learn like, you know, don't do that. That's going to get you grounded or whatever. So like a couple years ago or whatever, I watched Tina have to write a story that you guys had given to her to write.
You are part of the process. Don't even try to pass it off on us.
I was the only
just like when I was little, my older siblings talked me into it. Is what I will say I would never. I was put up to it, of course.
Am I the older sibling in this scenario?
Whoever it needs to be. As long as people are looking somewhere else and not at me, I'm good. But I will say, I'm willing if you guys are up to writing an outline for me, because like you could plot something using Rhonda's workbook and if you gave me a plot, I would just sit down and every day write whatever my assignment is to write that day. Right. Because the problem is I was thinking about NaNoWriMo and I understand my problem with it is that I don't care about what happens. I care about the people. So when I sit down to do a NaNoWriMo, I don't want to write a plot because I usually discover what's happening as I'm writing it. And then it gives me all these weird, but I don't have a whole novel feel. Like, I don't like that. But if it was more an assignment for me, I would excel, I believe, because I would say, oh, they want a chapter about a frog. I will write a chapter about a frog. Do you see what I mean? So it's something we can talk about. But if y'all want to give me this challenge, I'm willing to undertake it. That's my what's next. Oh, and also, go to writingshorts.net and please, please join my newsletter. I am working so hard on my little newsletter. It's not traditional. I'm sort of bending the rules a little, but I really want a lot of subscribers because that makes me feel like all my hard work is worth it. Let's just be honest. It's all about rewarding my hard work. So writingshorts.net.
Bending the rules. Gosh, that just doesn't sound right.
Writingshorts.net is the place to go.
Yes.
Please be a subscriber. And what's next for who did I forget?
Tina.
Tina, what's next for
How
Tina?
How could you forget me?
You're launching your book.
I am, and I'm planning a launch party.
Wow.
And it's going to be on November 14th, which is also my birthday.
Yay.
So, for my birthday, I would like you all to show up at my launch party.
Yay.
And there is going to be a virtual part of the launch party, not for the entire 4 hours, because that would be hard to maintain for 4 hours.
Yeah.
But maybe for the last 30 minutes, 45 minutes, maybe we're going to go virtual. And I do have a giveaway.
Ooh.
So I have a 2021 planner from christianplanner.com.
Ooh.
It's dove gray and it's spiral bound and it has a hard cover. And so if you want more details about that, you can go over to christianplanner.com and check out the 2021 dove gray spiral planner. They wanted me to point out that this is not sponsored by them. I bought the planner and I am the one giving it away. And so what it is anybody that buys a book during my launch party will get their name in for each book they purchase into a drawing. So if you purchase 5 books, you get 5 names in the drawing. And if you're joining us virtually, I just need a screenshot of proof of purchase for you to get your, and you can send that to me privately if you don't want to post it publicly. And you'll get your name in the drawing and somebody's going to win that planner.
That's so exciting. I had no idea you had a giveaway. That's so fun. Yeah.
And that's a great planner too.
Yeah, and books make great Christmas gifts, and you're right at the right time for Christmas shopping. So don't just get one copy of Lost, get one to give away to a friend and support a fellow struggling independent publishing company. Because you do have a publishing company, right, Tina?
Yes, I also am a publishing company, and the only books I've published is mine.
Hey, guess they're somewhere.
Yeah, yep. You need somewhere to send all them little write-off receipts, right, Jen?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. So what else? Did I forget anybody? Because it's what's up time. And I think we've gone all around. Mm-hmm. So does anybody have anything else to add? A reminder maybe to, if you are a subscriber to our newsletter, keep your eyes peeled for an invitation to get an advance review copy of writing. I don't remember the title.
Days of Writing Sprint Prep.
Thank you. Yes, you saved the day. Okay. And that,
if you sign up for ChristinaContain.com, you get Lost in the Land of the Midnight Sun, ARC Reader free ebook copy.
All right. So if that's it, yes, I believe that this concludes this episode of the Christian Indie Writers Podcast. So until next time, may your pen be prolific, may your deadlines be met, and may all of your words honor Christ. Bye now.
Bye, everyone. Bye.